This morning, turning your Bible, I want you to get two passages with me. First, John chapter 1 and Philippians chapter 2. John chapter 1 and Philippians chapter 2. Over the next couple of weeks, I'm probably going to, in addition to the message I bring today, we'll be bringing messages in relation to the incarnation of Christ and some things about that and what all that means. And so we're going to start in talking today about the obedience of Christ. By the way, I failed to mention during the announcements that next Sunday morning, our next Sunday is Christmas Eve, and we will have both of our services here on Sunday morning, 10 and 11. But we'll not have our evening service next Sunday, so keep that in mind. And then on New Year's Eve, a week after that, at 10 o'clock, we're going to have a breakfast. We're going to ask everybody to bring some type of breakfast dish. It can be something sweet or egg, sausage, whatever, a sausage ball, whatever you want to bring. And we'll put that out, have coffee and juice and milk and a time of fellowship. And then we'll have our 11 o'clock service here. So, and then we'll not have an evening service that night. So, after tonight, the next 2 weeks, we'll not have our evening Bible study. We do plan to continue our Thursday night Bible studies. We've been having a good following on that. And we appreciate people tuning in. And we welcome you today to the Bible study. I would mention that if you're watching over Facebook Live, and the broadcast stops or stalls, you need to just simply refresh your computer because generally it'll come right back on. I don't know exactly why it does that, whether it's a problem with my phone or what it is, but I've noticed it does it here as well at home. And if you're watching on Facebook Live and you're having a problem with that, you can always go to our website and watch there, understandingyourbible.com. And you can click on the live broadcast page. And also on that page, you'll find all of our messages are archived there for about 10 years. So if you've missed a message that you'd like to listen to, you can always go there and do so. All right, in John chapter 1, in the very first verse, the Bible says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not." Now look down in verse, and then of course, verse 6 begins to talk about John. He says, "A man sent from God, whose name was John, the same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe." Then down in verse 14, the Bible says, "And the Word." Now we know that the Word was the Lord Jesus Christ. He's referenced as the Word in several places. And in Revelation, when it talks about Him returning, His name is the Word of God. And so Jesus Christ was a physical manifestation of the Word. And it says in verse 14, "The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." So the reference there is to the Lord Jesus Christ. He was made flesh. He dwelt among mankind. And the Bible says they beheld His glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Speaking of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ was born of a virgin. He came to this earth. And at the age of about 30 years old, He began an earthly ministry. And He chose 12 men and He went about teaching the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The nation Israel as a whole rejected Jesus Christ as their Messiah, and they put him to death. He died on a cross. He was on that cross for he went in the grave and was there for 3 days and three nights, and came forth resurrected, proving that he was the Messiah sent from God. Peter said that was the proof. Paul said that was the proof that he was the Messiah. He was raised from the dead. On Thursday night, talked about his coming and the mystery of his coming. It was no mystery that Christ was going to be born. The Old Testament is full of prophecies. And on Thursday night, we read about 10 or 15 of those. And there's far more than that. I've got a list of 50 plus, and those are just some of the primary ones. But there's much prophecy about the coming of Christ and his not only his coming, but his death, burial, and resurrection. What is not prophesied in the Old Testament scriptures is that salvation would be available to all men. Now, it is prophesied that salvation would be available to Gentiles. It's prophesied that salvation would go into all the world through the nation Israel. Them being a kingdom of priests and so forth, that they would carry out the Great Commission. But it was never prophesied that he would, when he hung on the cross, that he was dying for the sins of all men, and that there would be an opportunity for all men to be saved simply by faith in his death, burial, and resurrection. Now, over in Philippians chapter 2, Paul addresses what is called the incarnation. Paul addresses the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ and some things that happened as a result of that. Notice there in Philippians chapter 2 in verse 5. Paul said, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, and things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." Now, in those verses, it is clear that Jesus Christ willingly came to earth, made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. I guess one of the hardest doctrines for people to get their head around sometimes is the doctrine of the Godhead. We call it the Trinity. That phrase is not in the Bible, but the Godhead is in the Bible. And it's hard for people to get a hold of how that there could be three in one. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. It is further complicated by the fact that that one member of that Godhead, before the foundation of the world, agreed that he would come in the likeness of man. Jesus Christ, when he was born, did not lose his deity. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Jesus Christ was God manifest in the flesh. And there are several reasons for that, and many of them are pointed out right here. He made himself of no reputation, took upon the form of a servant, was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Notice over in Hebrews chapter 5. Hebrews chapter 5. Some verses about the Lord Jesus Christ in His earthly ministry, in His earthly being. In Hebrews chapter 5, verse 8, the Bible says, "Though He were a son, yet learned He obedience by the things which He suffered." You see, there are a lot of verses about Christ and the fact that we know that He was God manifest in the flesh that sometimes causes a little trouble. For example, He learned obedience. People say, well, how would God have to learn obedience? Though He were a son, yet learned He obedience. How? By the things which He suffered. Keep in mind, when Christ was in the garden, before His crucifixion, He prayed, "Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me." Talking about the wrath of God being poured out of Him on Him at the cross. And He made a statement. He said, "Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done." Now we're going to look at a lot of passages that relate to Christ and His relationship with God. But there's something about the fact that Jesus Christ made it clear that He had His own will. He said, "Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done." You cannot deny that there's a difference there. He desires not to go to the cross. The Bible says He learned obedience by the things which He suffered, and being made perfect, He became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey Him. Look back in Hebrews chapter 2. In Hebrews chapter 2, in verse 9, "But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels, for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that He, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. For it became Him, for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings." Now, I want to look at a couple of things. First of all, I want you to notice Christ in His exalted position. Look in Colossians chapter 1. In Colossians chapter 1, look there in verse, look in verse 12. Colossians chapter 1, verse 12. "Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son, in whom," talking about Christ, "we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by Him," Christ, "were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by Him and for Him, and He is before all things, and by Him all things consist, and He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He might have their preeminence." That is what Christ's position is today there in the heavens. Look over in Titus chapter 1. In Titus chapter 1. Titus Titus 1, verse 1. Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect, and the acknowledging of the truth, which is after godliness, in hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began. Well, who did God promise it to? We weren't there. The Lord Jesus Christ was, and Paul says in verse 3, but hath in due times manifested his word through preaching, which is committed unto me according to the commandment of God our Savior. It is clear in the scriptures that God Almighty and the Trinity, the Godhead, planned out this salvation that would be made available to all men by the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. He promised unto him eternal life for all that would believe. Now, go back to Ephesians chapter 4, just a few pages back. Ephesians chapter 4. In Ephesians 4, in verse 6, or verse 5, there's one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, and Father of all, who is above all, and through all, and in you all. In Hebrews, where we read a moment ago, Jesus Christ was called the Son. In Acts chapter 5, he's referred to as the Spirit. So we have in the Scriptures the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Christ stepped down from that heavenly position, took upon himself the form of a servant, made in the likeness of men, born of a virgin, born in a fleshly body, as we read there in Philippians 2:8 and Hebrews chapter 5. And as we read in John 1:14, he was made flesh and dwelt among us. Now, the question comes up, is there's different ideas and there are different titles given to these ideas about Christ coming to earth. I think one of them is called the kenosis, and that idea is that Christ emptied himself of his deity. I do not believe that. I believe that Jesus Christ was always deity. He was always God manifest in the flesh. But there are certain verses that cause difficulty with people that are said about the Lord Jesus Christ during his ministry here on earth in the flesh. For example, look back in Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. In Luke In Luke 2, look in verse 30. Luke 2, verse 30. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles, and the glory of thy people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. And Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary, his mother, behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. Yea, a sword shall pierce through thine own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. And there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Aser. She was of great age and had lived within 107 years from her virginity. And she was a widow of about 84 years, which departed not from the temple, but served God with fasting and prayers night and day. And she coming in that instant gave thanks likewise unto the Lord and spake of him to all them that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. And when they had performed all things according to the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee to their own city, Nazareth. And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover, and when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. Now verse 12 says that the child grew, waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. Now, when you read verses like that, and people say, well, I thought he was God. He was God manifest in the flesh. I would submit to you, and this is my opinion, and I think it's supported by Scripture, that Jesus Christ was God manifest in the flesh, but his flesh was not God. If his flesh was God, then Mary was the mother of God. She brought forth Jesus Christ, the Son. Notice over in Luke chapter 2, same chapter, in verse 52. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature, and in favor with God and man. You see, folks, there's something unique about these verses that deal with the fact that Jesus Christ, during his earthly ministry, his flesh seems to be spoken of in a different manner, his life in the flesh, than that of God, who the Bible says, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. I think there's an answer to all of that. Look at Mark chapter 13. In Mark 13, Jesus Christ is speaking, verse 30, Verily I say unto you that this generation shall not pass till all these things be done. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. But of that day and that hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels which are in heaven, neither the Son, but the Father. How is it that the Son, if Jesus Christ is God manifest in the flesh, and we believe it is, how is it that he was able to say that God knew something that he didn't know? He said, of that day and hour knoweth no man, know not the angels which are in heaven, neither the Son, but the Father. Now, as I said, there are those that explain that by saying that Christ emptied himself of his deity. But I believe there's another possibility. And you may disagree with this, and that's fine. I had somebody disagree one time before. I believe that Jesus Christ did something that nobody else in this world could do in his coming. I believe that Jesus Christ willingly agreed not to exercise the attributes of his deity so that he could identify with man. He willingly chose or willingly agreed not to know certain things. You can't do that. Everything you know, you know. And tell me what you know that you could quit knowing. People say, well, you're detracting from the deity of Christ. Only deity could do that, folks. It would be a miraculous thing that Jesus Christ was able to, when he stepped into that fleshly body, to identify with mankind, give up the ability, even though he was still God, but not to exercise those attributes of God while here on earth. Let me show you a couple of others. Notice in John chapter 4. In John chapter 4. By the way, what this is all headed toward in the conclusion here in about 18 minutes and 22 seconds, somewhere around there, is the faith of Christ. The faith of Christ is not just the faithfulness of Christ. When you see all these verses, to me it becomes clear how important the faith of Christ really was. In John chapter 4, in verse 33, "Therefore said the disciples one to another, Hath any man brought him aught to eat? Jesus saith unto them, My meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work." Not finish our work, finish his work. The wording in these verses is very important. Look in John chapter 6. Now, I have presented this idea before on more than one occasion, and I've heard other preachers do this, and I've also heard preachers refute the idea that Christ relinquished the ability to know all things and that kind of thing. What I have not ever heard is I've never heard anybody address all of these verses and explain them. John 6:38, "For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which has sent me, that of all which he hath given me I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day." Then back in Matthew chapter 26, the verse I quoted a moment ago, we'll turn there. Matthew 26. I tell you what, when you're standing up here and you hear that heat cut off, it's a wonderful sound. You would not believe the difference in the temperature between down there and up here. Matthew 26, verse 39. "And he went a little farther and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt." So we see that Jesus Christ, in some areas, relinquished his knowledge. He desired to do God's will rather than his will. Notice over in John chapter 5, in John chapter 5, God, in the book of John, we see several instances where Jesus Christ did not exercise the power of God. In John chapter 5, in verse 19, "Then answered Jesus and said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you," now notice, "the Son can do nothing of himself but what he seeth the Father do. For what things soever he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. For the Father loveth the Son and showeth him all things that himself doeth, and he will show him greater works than these, that ye may marvel." Look in verse 30. John 5, verse 30. "I can of mine own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge. And my judgment is just, because I seek not mine own will, but the will of the Father which has sent me." Look in John 5, verse 36. "But I have greater witness than that of John, for the works which the Father hath given me to finish, the same works that I do bear witness of me, that the Father has sent me." And then in John chapter 8, in John 8, look in verse 28, John 8, 28. "Then said Jesus unto them, When you have lifted up the Son of Man, Then shall ye know that I am He, that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. In other words, he says the Father has taught him. He grew in wisdom and stature. And he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. So Jesus Christ was sent to fulfill the will of the Father. Look in John chapter 12. In John chapter 12. John 12:45, for I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me, he gave me a commandment that I what I should say and what I should speak. Look in John chapter 14. In John 14. Verse 9. Jesus saith unto him, have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath sent me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Down in verse 24. He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings, and the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father which sent me. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you, but the Comforter, which is of the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. And then in John chapter 17, John 17, these words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven. By the way, before we read there, when he said he's going to send the Comforter, I think it's very significant in your Bible that in the Old Testament, God Almighty spoke through the prophets. They were God's ordained instrument to bring forth the Word of God and write it down. But Israel, Old Testament Israel, rejected in large part the Word of God, and they ended up in idolatry. So he sends his Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ ministers among the nation for 3 years, and they reject him. And he says, when you reject me, you're rejecting the one who sent me. Talking about the Father. But they reject him and they kill him, put him to death. He dies. He goes in the tomb. He's raised again. He meets with them for 40 days and 40 nights. And then he ascends into heaven. And then the third member of the Godhead shows up in Acts chapter 2, and they are baptized with the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit speaks through them, and they reject the Holy Spirit also. They blaspheme the Holy Spirit. So Israel had really three opportunities. God the Father dealing directly with them through the prophets, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and when he's going away, the Holy Spirit comes and they reject him as well. And after that, we find the salvation of the Apostle Paul. Now, in John chapter 17, verse 1, these words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. Now, I want you to hold on here, and I want you to look over to Galatians chapter 2. Galatians chapter 2. In Galatians chapter 2, the Apostle Paul says there in verse 16, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Now, most Bibles change that to faith in Jesus Christ, but faith in Jesus Christ and the faith of Jesus Christ are not the same. I've also heard people say that's the faithfulness of Christ. Well, faith and faithfulness are not the same. I mean, I have faith. I have faith in the faith of Christ. I have faith in God, but I'm not always faithful. Faithfulness and faith are not the same thing. He said, we're not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. Look back in, we're not going to turn there. Paul mentions this faith of Christ in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 12. He mentions in Philippians chapter 3, verse 9, and also in Romans 3:21, the faith of Jesus Christ. I believe that it's clear in John chapter 17 that these words mean exactly what they say, in that Jesus Christ prays, and he says, and now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world began. I believe that when Jesus Christ showed up in a body of flesh, that every verse that we read about him is absolutely true. He grew in wisdom and stature. He acknowledged that he had his will, but he was to do the will of the Father. He acknowledged that he knew nothing of himself. He acknowledged that that which he taught was of God. But there was something else to that. And that is that if he died in that body of flesh that he entered into in the likeness of man, that God was going to have to raise him up. And so Jesus Christ, there in that garden, seeing the death that he's fixing to face, prays, not my will, but thy will be done. And then he prays to the Father that he would restore unto him the glory that he had before the foundation of the world. Jesus Christ stepped down out of heaven, I believe, by faith, believing that God the Father would accomplish everything that he said he would accomplish before the world began, Titus chapter 1, verse 2. And God did exactly that. Now, the Bible says we walk by faith, not by sight. God desires that we would exhibit and demonstrate in our life the same kind of faith that Jesus Christ exhibited in his life, believing God. That's what faith is, folks. It's believing God. And the Bible says faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. If a person is not saved, the only way they can be saved is by trusting in what Jesus Christ did when he by faith came to planet Earth, lived on this earth for 33 years, died, was buried, and God raised him from the dead, and the Bible said he was raised again for our justification. And when a person believes that and receives that free gift of salvation, they are saved by what Jesus Christ did. Jesus Christ did not lose his deity. But Jesus Christ, by faith, became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And not only that, he became obedient unto the will of the Father, the one who sent him. I'm sure that there is far more about this that I don't understand than I do understand. But I believe these verses make it clear that Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ, operated on the basis of what God revealed to him, that is, God's Word. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and that Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And that faith of Christ has to do with his total obedience and dependence on God Almighty the Father and his Word. And that's why many times, matter of fact, you go back to Matthew chapter 4 when he was first tempted, and every time he quotes the Word of God. Jesus Christ was God manifest in the flesh, and as such, he was the only one that could take the sin of the world upon him and die for our sins. The book of Psalms says that no man can by any means redeem his brother. Man can't die for man to get him to heaven. Only God could do that. One other verse, look in Acts chapter 20. In Acts chapter 20. A verse that is proof positive that Jesus Christ had to be virgin born, born of God, even though it doesn't mention it here, is Acts 20, verse 28, when Paul says, "Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood." It was the blood of God flowing through the veins of the Lord Jesus Christ. He did not have an earthly father. He was born of a virgin, and he lived and died and was raised again for our justification, that we might have eternal life. Don't reject that. Don't turn away from that wonderful and glorious salvation. If you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, today believe and trust in what Jesus Christ did and all that he was. Thank God that he was willing to take upon himself the form of a servant, be made in the likeness of men, and receive him for Christ's sake. Would you stand with me for prayer?